Today's podcast, we are featuring Cody Hogan from chlonestarpromo.com. Of course, we are partnering with him on our merchandise. He has an amazing story to tell. So stick around and listen to his passion for what he's doing and how he became the go-to merchandise guy.
Let's go.
It's tricky when you go, when I had like 5 to 10 employees, it could be slow when we were still busy. Mm. When you got, now I got 25 employees. Now it's like bit like busy can still be slow. You know, it's just, It's really tricky, and I'm blessed. Don't get me wrong. I'm lucky to be where I am, but it has its challenges for sure. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's so good that you're growing, and merchandise is so important to be on the forefront. And it's nice to have somebody like you, Cody, that, you know, musicians, businesses, people like us now can put our trust in you. How did you get CH Lone Star started?
Ooh, so 5 years ago, I was in the AC business, and my wife now was my girlfriend. We had a rent house that we were renting, and she sold medical equipment for a living. And so we went from that to, working for someone and working for yourself. You know, I've worked for people that are the best bosses I've ever worked for in my entire life. But for me, it was going into the winter, and the AC business got slower. And I was like, man, I need to find like a side hustle to kind of just bring in extra business. I'm always around construction guys. I'm always around realtors. You know, what could I do to, you know, stir up more business? And so I had a friend that did laser engraved tumbler cups. And so she bought a new machine. She had a laser machine laying there. And I was like, hey, I'll buy that from you. And she was like, that's fine. And so I didn't even tell my wife now that I bought this thing. I brought it home and I said, babe, I got 100 tumbler cups. I sold them to the bank, our bank that we banked with. I need your help. We got to figure out how to use this machine. And she about killed me. And so she was like, no, I like my 8 to 5. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just trying to find a side hustle. And so she didn't know anything about Adobe and designs or anything. And so we're in there over the whole week trying to figure out how to use this machine. And, you know, we're running cups and you get what you pay for. And I was like, man, like, this could be a decent business to get into. You just got to have good quality stuff to put out. And so me and my wife actually spent our savings and went and bought one machine and emptied our bank accounts and took the chance on it. And so we started like that, and then a couple months and we're staying busy and we're doing cups and we're doing cutting boards and things like that for like closing for realtor agents, cups for musicians, things like that. And so then we went from that to where I jokingly, she would come home and she'd be working on tumbler cups and stuff, but then she'd bring her work or her work home too. And she'd be up to 11 o'clock and you know, her bosses was promising her things that was not happening. And I was like, babe, like you're putting a lot more time than what like you were promised and what you signed up for. Like, why don't you do this full time? She was like, no, I am not going to be an entrepreneur. That's not built for me. And so I was like, whatever. So I started looking at other machines and screen printing machines and embroidery machines. And 2 weeks later, I get a phone call and she was like, I think you're right. I think we should do this. And I was like, deal, because I already got stuff in the works. I'm already looking at machines. And she's like, you're crazy. So we went all in and spent way too much money trying to get into it. And she's in the building working right now. But it's funny, for a whole year, like, everyone thinks starting your own business is the easiest thing in the world. Like, it's not, by no means. Like, embroidery machine, she literally would cry every single day trying to learn how to do embroidery. Or like, because in my brain was, okay, I could get this printer and it's printing on its own. And then I could get the embroidery machine. It's like its own little employee. I could get the laser machine. It's its own employee. Well, not when all of them have problems all the time. And so,
oh no.
And she had to learn those problems too, which even to this day, we still have problems with each machine. And so we bit off more than we could chew at the very beginning, but then we just kept fighting, kept hustling, kept grinding through it. And it got us where we are today. It was a challenging thing. And then it started to turn around and it started to work. And we went from our guest bedroom to our garage. Then she was like, okay, Cody, I need some help. Like, I can't do this on my own. So we hired a second person And so then we're hustling, and I would go work in the AC business all day and then go home, and then I would screen print. And we were manually screen printing then in our garage. And so we had a laser machine, an embroider machine, and then we were, screen printing, and that's what we were doing. And so, we would work till 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Like we were slammed and busy. And then on the weekends and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we were younger. So we were going to the bar and, meeting with musicians, and, we supported them because we loved them, but then we were doing their merch at the same time, And so, so then we went from that to where then it was like, okay, we need our first building. Like we're growing out of the garage. Plus we're in an old farmhouse. So like customers would pull up and, we're running out of the garage looking like we're like slumlords, And so it was funny. It was kind of like embarrassing, but then at the same day, it's like, hey, we're entrepreneurs. We're trying to do what we can do to get to the next step, And so, then we got us another building. We ran out of there for about 6 months, and then we got to about 2 or 3 employees, and then we bought a house. And then about that time, this kind of gets deep into my story. So I was still working for the AC business and coming in and working at till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And then when we bought our house, the guy I worked for, I was the only sales rep, and I'm very blessed to work with him. Awesome guy. But I went from 1 million to 5 million. And I was hustling his business and bringing the AC business up. Well, one winter it got really, really slow. And he's like, hey, Cody, I got to put you on commission based only. And I was like, man, like, I mean, we're going into the winter. Like, so I was like, that's fine. I'll hustle this way, but I'm going to go into my business with Haley and go all in. Well, I thought in my brain I was going to go all in, but I was still just scared to death. Like, can we make it? Are we going to make it? So I actually went and worked for the Walmart distribution center, and I did night shifts, and I did like the 12-hour shifts, 14-hour. It was horrible, but I did it for 2 weeks, and literally every day coming out of there, I'd like pull my shoes off as soon as I got in the car, and my feet were killing me just from standing on that concrete. So like when people like give people a hard time for working in warehouses, or man, like, that's just, we need those people. They're the ones that take care of us out here, but no one appreciates that to a certain extent or doesn't realize how hard it is. So it kind of gave me a different respect for working in that industry, and like props to them. Like there's not everybody can stand on concrete for 12 hours straight and run that, So I did that for 2 weeks, got my first check, and I was like, there's no way. Like I'm going to make this business work. Like for me to kill myself, barely crawl myself out of that warehouse, and then get a check was pretty, it was just hard for me. And so I was like, no, I can do something better with myself. And so we went all in. And when this situation happened with my job, I was building plans and pitching to the bank on building a building at our house. So we were going to build a 5,000 square foot building at our house. The same day that this situation happened, when I went commission based, was when I was supposed to meet with the bank and say, hey, will you let me borrow $150,000 to build a building and buy some equipment? So then I was like, the bank's not going to give me any money now. Like I don't have, I don't have an income to show for that really. And so I went to the bank. It was a credit union. That's why I'm very hardcore on like credit unions. And they took a chance on me, and they were like, man, we could get in trouble for this, but we believe in you. You'll figure out how to make it work. And so they gave me the loan, and I built the building, and we were running production in the other little building while building this building. And then we got a press and a 6-head embroidery machine still sitting on the pallet. And then COVID hit. And I'm like, we're going to go bankrupt. There's no way we can figure this out. And so it was me and I think my wife and 2 or 3 other people. And I was like, look, guys, I know this is a bad deal. Like we can either fight through it, see if we can make it through it. Or, I get it if you need to stay home, if you don't feel comfortable coming in. And so we stuck through it, and they came to work every day, and we just kept hunting and fighting and, penny, just being smart with our money, and we got through it. And then after that, it just skyrocketed. And so it grew faster than we could handle. But like every person that has worked here, that does work here, we wouldn't be there without them. And it wasn't just business. Like we were a family. We, you know, they would come, musicians would come in and just hang out while we're making stuff. And, you know, we're just talking and joking. Or like, even when we built the building, like Jared Morris came and played and we had like a little song session, you know, it was fun. Like we did it because we loved it. It wasn't all about the money. So we've had a building for a whole year and now we got 10,000 square foot building. We got 25 employees and we're running some production.
So what was the idea behind moving into the e-commerce fulfillment merch store website?
Right after COVID, we started getting into e-commerce where I was hearing all my buddies that are musicians like, man, I can't get things shipped out. Like, oh, I forgot to send this out to my customer and they'd be 2 or 3 weeks out without sending something out. And I'm like, dude, you got to get that out. Like, you can't do that, you know? And so then that's when we signed up with, hey, let's try to start doing fulfillment for musicians and it makes it affordable. So my goal is and was and still is, we don't really make money on the e-commerce and fulfillment side. It pays for itself. So our goal is, hey, to make a living is when they order their bulk from us. And we're printing for them to go on the road or, you know, companies and things like that. But the fulfillment is for musicians to where they can't afford to have a full-time person, but now they got someone that's shipping stuff out and it's on demand. So a lot of companies, you have to print in bulk, it sits in a warehouse and they ship it out. When it gets lower, you order more and you make more and you ship out. Well, we've made it to where it's all print on demand. So what that means is that say you have a design and you print it on a black shirt and it's white ink. Well, you have it on the road and that musician or customer is like, man, I really, or your customer is like, man, I really wanted that on a camo hoodie. And you're like, well, now I got to print bulk to offer that. Now, just all you have to do is say, hey, go to the website, order, we print it on demand and ship it straight to the customer. So we've really went into that. And then the other thing with hats. So like embroidery hats, patch hats, leather patch hats, it's on demand too. So now people can pick from a black hat, purple hat, white hat, and then we put the patch on and then we ship it out the door. And then at the end of the month, the musician or our customer gets their profits. And we promote that too. From day one, we've always promoted our customers in a different way, like as a print shop. Like we're not just printing their stuff and sending it out the door. Like we try our best to where when we're printing your stuff, we're videoing it, building content, playing your music, tagging you. Like in our mind, the more you sell and the more content we're all providing, the better and the more money we're all making together. And so that's kind of something that we do on that side of it too. I know I kind of jump in some different areas.
Have you ever wondered how artists like Treaty Oak Revival, Red Clay Strays, and Aaron Watson maintain the high quality and high demand for their merchandise? CH Lone Star Promo is the answer. Created in Texas to serve Texas artists, and they're currently offering 15% off on all merch orders from musicians. Visit chlonestarpromo.com to get started and tell them Texas Toast sent you.
I was reading the other day that it takes at least $1 million to break an artist. That's a ton of change, and it can feel overwhelming. But with social media leveling the playing field, you just need an effective strategy to release your music. Check out Release Rocket to ensure your single does not die after release day. You've already put time, effort, and tons of money into writing and recording your album. Let the guys at Release Rocket keep your new release alive.
I see you're sitting in your podcast studio. I know you guys are heading more into the production side of things. So tell me more about the whole content side of things that you're doing to get involved.
A year and a half ago, we started CH Productions, and it's a video content company. And we do like music videos. We do recaps for like LJT, Outlaw and Legends Festival. So we have like a production company too, like Jack Barksdale. We'll do music videos for him. We do a lot of stuff for Tanner Ussery, you know, so we dabble in that side of it too. And then last year we had a really good year and we wouldn't be where we are today without our customers. And a lot of people ask like, ooh, who's your biggest musician? Or it's, for us, it's not about who the biggest one is. Like, we wouldn't be where we are today without the up and comers. And so, like, I really hold that. I don't care if you spend a dollar, if you spend $1 million, I treat every customer the same. And that's kind of been our thing. Like, hey, you put in an order, you're on the schedule, we'll get you done. you need a rush order, we'll figure out what we need to do to make that happen. And we, you know, we do it all the time. But we do try to keep everybody to where we just treat them all the same for sure. So what I was saying is last year we were really, really blessed. So then we built a 400 square foot recording studio. And so now we have like a podcast recording studio that I don't know how to do sound. I am not an engineer. I don't know anything about it, but we invested into it to give it to musicians and customers of ours to use it and abuse it. Because like for up and comers, I feel like not everyone can afford to go straight to the studio. So now we've given them this to where it's like, hey, instead of doing it in your bedroom and you need a couple of guys to help you come in, you know, if you're printing shirts or doing stuff with us, we wouldn't have this studio if it wasn't for you printing shirts and stuff. So use it and abuse it. And so that's how we built the studio. And so like we got Hayden Hilliard. He's actually coming on the 28th and we're recording an EP for him here. And so like there's stuff that we do there too. And so and then I do like CH sessions where we do a we sit down, talk to musicians, talk about the business and not just musicians, like customers in general, you know, roofing companies, hunting companies, stuff like that. We just talk about business and build content together too and tell our life stories, you know. So we do this business because we love it. It's cool. The employees that work here, where I really try to push the family vibe. I see where bigger companies now where it's like they all want to keep that family vibe, but it does get harder the bigger you get. I have a love and hate of how big we've gotten, but I try to keep that small vibe as long and as, you know what I mean, as much as I can. But yeah, it's been one crazy ride and I'm excited to see what happens in the future.
I just want to tell you, you are such an inspiration. I am so impressed. And I'm even like more excited about us. I think that, you know, we just got sent the perfect partner for our merch.
Heck yeah. The older I'm getting, it's hard to like go to the bars every weekend and things like that. But like, man, I used to live in the bar to go see musicians and support them and things like that too. You know, it's been really cool to grow with them. We've done stuff for Wyatt Flores. We did stuff for him for about 6 months and then he got caught with the big deal and it happened for him, you know? And so that's part of the business and I'm happy for him. It's awesome. It's cool to be a part of that story. You know what I mean? And so like Red Clay Strays, like it's crazy. 4 years ago, I met them at Mile Zero and no one really knew who they were. And everyone was posting like, why don't you have merch? Why don't you have merch? And so everyone was like, CH, CH. And so literally on the way home from Mile Zero, we're talking back and forth. And now it's 4 years into it. And, you know, we've built that relationship. It's been really cool to do their stuff, you know? And so I think my number one goal for CH and our growth and working with people that we work with, it's not all about the money. Like for us, it's more of like looking back in 20 years and be like, man, that was one hell of a ride that we did together and the loyalty of it. You know what I mean? Like I have musicians that will call me and say, Cody, I messed up. I need something in 2 days. Do we love it? No, but at the end of the day, I have to look at it as, hey, this is how they make their living. They're supporting me and that's how I make my living. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure they have something to sell.
And you're such a good example of that. And your vision and how you just kept moving forward and kept moving forward. And you're such an inspiration too, as well, taking in those up and coming musicians and getting their merch started. I mean, it's just it's a perfect team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's worked very well. And we are like, I'm telling you, we're blessed to be where we are today.
Yeah, it's crazy just thinking about like when you were getting started, like the story is so similar to the story we're hearing from like all the other artists that we talked to, you know, the build of it all. And I'm sure, you know, that kind of like just adds another layer of excitement to the whole thing for you. But it was making me curious, like, you know, you are from Texas originally or no?
So I've been here since I was 15. Okay. I moved from Tennessee. And so my grandpa was in the military. So he was at Fort Campbell. And so then we had you call them farms there. So we had a farm there and a 5-lane highway came through. So then we moved here to Texas.
Was there like a certain artist or a certain like venue or something in Texas that pulled you into this whole Texas country thing? Or how did that whole connection kind of initiate itself?
You know, to be honest with you, Rock and Rodeo right there in Denton. I was there. I lived at that place until for a long time, until it shut down and I would be a millionaire today if that place was never open, truthfully. But there's some really cool people that came out of that place, you know, and it's crazy to see, like, it's crazy to be even like with Coe Wetzel and stuff. Like, it's like, man, we used to see him at Rock and Rodeo. Now look, you know, or like, it's just Mike Ryan, a lot of those guys, you know? And So I always was into the music scene on listening to music and stuff like that. I would say when we started printing in our garage, Jordan was one of our good friends and she started working for us. A lot of people know who she is. And so she kind of got me and Haley into it a little bit, where a couple musicians started working with us, Cameron Hobbs, Jared Morris, Wade Bagley, some of those guys. And then that it just kind of domino affected. And I realized there was a trend for it. When we loved it, there was still a trend for it of, hey, there's not a lot of, and it's funny because if you look at a lot of print shops, not a lot of print shops went after the music industry like they have here in the last year or two. It's kind of like people talking like, man, there's a lot of people out there that are not country music singers, but in the last year or two, they're starting to write a lot of country music, you know, like Post Malone. Like, it seems crazy, but there's something about Texas, you know, red dirt music that, you know, in my opinion, it's a different world. And it's easy. I got to be careful when I say this, but I would say from being from Tennessee and being in the Nashville world and listening to Nashville country, there's just a complete difference in Nashville country and red dirt country and the loyalty of the family side of it too. Like, I feel like it's die hard family vibe when it's like a musician playing. Like, man, there's people that will go all over the world to follow their friend and watch them grow and push them and the loyalty and like the love of that. Where Nashville country, and I'm not saying that's not every person that plays in Nashville that are from Nashville, but I do feel like musicians here in the red dirt, like they write from their heart and it's real music. And it's not because it's like, ooh, is this sound good? Is this going to be the new thing? No, they write it because they love it and they enjoy writing and building music and doing it with their friends and grow, you know what I mean? Where Nashville, I feel like is like, hey, what's the next thing that sounds good? What's the next thing that's going to pop off for me?
Well, I just want to comment. And I love, because like me, you have the passion for the Texas country and the red dirt music, because my background's radio. And I was there from the beginning when we were actually started playing Texas artists on the radio, putting them in rotation. And I got to see growth and development from, you know, back when, you know, we didn't have the downloads. We didn't have the streaming of music. The only way sometimes we could get their music to get it on the radio back in the days was to go to their shows and be able to get that Cory Morrow CD or to, you know, and bring it back and tell our stories. So I just love that we're partnering with you guys because you have the same passion that we have here at the Texas Toast Podcast. So if you'll go ahead and give everybody your website.
Yeah. So it's www.chlonestarpromo.com. So we have that. And then our social media is Instagram, TikTok. And so TikTok's been one of the big hitters, even for like, you can come check us out there. But if you're a musician that wants to do business or a customer that wants to do business, you can kind of see from our promoting, like what we do for people, like as we do it together as a team, like, you know, like Treaty Oak right now is a big hit, you know? And so like, we'll print their stuff and it's funny, like, we'll print new stuff that's not even on the site or on the road yet. And we'll post it and then it'll blow up. Like, hey, you know, we're getting hit from a bunch of people. Like, why isn't this on the website? Why isn't this on the website? So like, I think that's a cool way to show the content that we try to do that. But yes, you can look us up on the website, you know, and then our social medias. And then truthfully, you know, my cell phone is my business phone and all of the above. And so like, you know, reach out to us. If you ever want to talk to me direct, they will give you my cell phone number. And I don't know, like, it's a team deal. Like, I'll answer at 10 o'clock at night, you know, like I'll do what I need to do to make sure that, you know, you guys are taken care of or anybody.
All right. Well, Cody, it's been an honor and a pleasure. And we're so excited that Texas Toast Podcast is teaming up with CH Lone Star. And thank you so much, Cody, for coming on the podcast and telling us your story.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.